Everybody, I hope you're doing amazing as per always. That has become the intro. I need to like record an actual intro so I can put that in here because the new software I'm doing, I can just press a button and it'll play the audio. I love it. It's so much easier to edit. Not that I've fucking used any of the features other than just recording, but hey, we get there. For this one, particularly for January, but I mean, by the time this comes out, I think it'll still be in January. What'll it be? 28th. Look at us go. Still January, still counts. I wanted to get into this one because a lot of people are starting at the gym. A lot of people are, like particularly my gym, there's a lot of new people there. I'm getting reports as if I'm getting people to spy for me. I'm getting reports from clients, or at least they're just telling me that their gyms are always busy. And particularly they're starting at the new gym. They're like, oh, is it always this busy? And a lot of the trainers, or owners or managers or just people that work at the gym, they're basically saying, It's normally this busy this time of year. That's about it. That's where they get to. Normally about Feb, obviously you'll see some people that are starting to like drop off. The motivation isn't there as much, and that's completely normal. That's fine. We expect that. But I want to just share this message or this story because the number one thing that I used to get was like, oh, it's easy for you to get to the gym because you're a personal trainer. I didn't start as a personal trainer. Most people who either go into personal training, I was about to say something. Let me rephrase it. A lot of people who last in the industry as a personal trainer for more than like 2 or 3 years are people who know what it's like to go through gym anxiety or people who know what it's like to suck, quote unquote, at the gym or just feel really uncomfortable at the gym. And then eventually they felt better. They went through some shit. They felt better because of the gym. And they went, oh, I want to help other people feel like this. So then they became personal trainers. That's basically what happened to me. I always knew that I was into sport and that the human body and everything, just like anatomy and not biology, because I wasn't that smart to do chemistry and shit, but the body itself and sport was my passion. That was the thing that I just absolutely loved. It was the only thing that I could really focus on at school. Surprise, surprise. So I knew it was going to be something around that. Like my career would be something around that. Failing my first two personal training businesses, then I was like, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I need to do something else or look into like being a carpenter or ended up being a handyman, went back to managing pizza shops, went into real estate, tried a whole bunch of other things and fucking hated all of them. And personal training was a thing that really just stuck with me and that I enjoyed. And as I found out, yes, it was because the gym made me feel better and it technically saved my life and it gave me something to focus on. The gym is super powerful. It didn't even have to be the gym. It could have been more than likely fucking Pilates or going for a walk or running or something like that. It could have been a different sport. But in this case, it just so happened to be the gym. Physical movement basically saved my life. And I wanted to help other people that were feeling about the same as me, but get through that. I wanted to be the person that I needed but never had for someone else. And that's why I decided to stick with being a personal trainer. Even though I failed the first two times, came back and said, right, well, this is going to be my career. There's a whole long story behind it that's rather dark, but I'm not going to get into that because we're doing happy and fun and positive stuff today. I decided this would be my third and final attempt of being a personal trainer, and that sort of scared the fuck out of me. And I was like, okay, well, I have to make this work because every other job made me miserable, and this was the one that made me happy. So I better fucking do well at this. And then doubled down, and then, hey, here we are. So I want to help people understand what it takes to be comfortable at the gym and to understand that a lot of the logical stuff, obviously it makes sense because it's logical, but when I talk to clients, it's, hey, no one's actually looking at you. They go, I know, they're more focused on themselves. And it's like, we know that's true, but at the same time, if someone just randomly looks at you, you're going to be like, oh my God, they're staring at me. Even though they're doing the same thing, they're going to be looking at you and going like, oh my God, they're staring at me. And you'll just like constantly, it's like, randomly be looking at each other to be like, are they still looking at me? And you'll do that for the whole session. Eventually, that all fades into the background because you start to feel more comfortable and confident in what you're doing. So it's not, are they making fun of me or are they judging me or should I be embarrassed for doing this or am I doing it wrong? Your mindset and thoughts move from that pattern into like, okay, they're just looking at me. And it just becomes, okay, cool. Like it just becomes water off a duck's back. It's just one of those things that is just, oh, that's the easiest way that I can describe it. It's just, eh. Getting started for me was like, I didn't become comfortable at the gym until I was confident in myself. I spent when I first started at the gym, or like getting comfortable at the gym, and there was even a time where like I had been to the gym for like 2-3 years with a friend. And every time I was at the gym, it was with a friend. And when I went by myself, it was like my safety blanket, safety net, whatever had just completely disappeared. I didn't know how to exist because he was more into gym than me. And that was when I was like 16, 17. So it would have been 2 years that I was there, year and a half. When I went by myself at a different gym, this, even though I had been going for 18 months and I was technically qualified as a personal trainer, I'd gone to university and done these things, after a couple mental breakdowns and getting back into the gym, this is where I started from. So think about this. I'd already been going to the gym for 18 months. I had gone to university and studied to become a personal trainer and how the body works and everything. And I still got into the gym and I felt like this. This is what we call mental health issues. It's not just gym anxiety, it's just anxiety. It's like no one goes like, oh yeah, no, I have shopping center anxiety. I have Woolworths anxiety. I have hairdresser anxiety. It's just anxiety. So when it comes to like gym anxiety, yes, you're in more of like a vulnerable state because you can't wear whatever clothes you want. Like you can, but a lot of people are like, oh, why are they wearing whatever? Why are they wearing MC Hammer fucking parachute pants? Most people here are wearing leggings, or most people here are wearing shorts, or whatever it could possibly be. I get that the aesthetic of it does change, but at the end of the day, no one's really going to give a fuck. I know a lot of people that have been to the gym for years and years and years on end, and they don't wear leggings. They wear whatever the fuck they want. They wear basketball shorts. They just wear whatever shoes that they have. They wear old t-shirts. Like, there's no particular aesthetic you have to be wearing when you go to the gym. A lot of people do feel more confident and comfortable at the gym when they start dressing for like, when they start dressing for confidence, because I know a lot of, well, I know one person in particular, shout out to you, you know who you are. Fashion makes a massive difference for confidence and your identity. So when you start dressing as these like really baggy, don't look at me type of like clothes that are trying to basically cover up everything, and you go to the gym, it's like, yeah, you'll probably feel out of place because you're dressing to be out of place. And if you dressed, as example, I'm not saying you have to, but as an example, if you dress in leggings or the shorts or the whatever that would just be like, hey, let's call it color matching or just coordination in terms of like the aesthetic outfit. If you dressed as that for something that you're still roughly comfortable in, you will likely start to feel more comfortable and that you fit in more because you have dressed for it. I didn't feel really comfortable at the gym because I started in like these old ass runners, baggy basketball shorts, and it was a t-shirt initially, but then it was just these baggy, daggy singlets. And none of it really matched. The colors were all off. Like, I was like, well, when I first started, it was like 17. But then I eventually got my shit together and, hey, I started wearing stuff that kind of went together, which was basically just all black when I was like 19 or 20, which is what I'm going to go through in a minute. But if you dress for what you're comfortable in and that you can move sort of freely in, amazing. You're going to feel better when you start dressing for the occasion, is the short of it. But to get back on track, I didn't become comfortable at the gym until I was confident. And when I started, it took me a long while to be able to become confident in myself. So when I first got back into it, I started with just a stationary bike and I would do some core. I would spend 6 months on the stationary bike. Like, I spent the first 6 months on the stationary bike. It was like, oh, let's do 20 minutes. Okay, my heart is beating out of my fucking eyeballs. I can't do anymore. And I just slowly built on that over the next 6 months to the point where sort of like 4 month mark, I think, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can go for the full hour on this bike. I wonder if I can hit 10Ks in the hour. I wonder if I can do whatever it was. I can't remember the exact targets, but I was just aiming for more and more and more. If it was 20 minutes, I had to go for like 22 minutes the next day. And if it was 5 kilometers, I had to do 5.5. And it just sort of slowly got up and up and up until eventually 4 months in, I was like, oh, let's see if I can hit the hour. And then it reset the whole bike. Like, it turned off and then just reset. And I was like, oh, well, that's disappointing. And then I went home. Then the next day I came back and I was like, okay, I got like, I'm going to make up numbers, 10.13 kilometers in that hour. I wonder if I can get 10.2. And that just became my challenge for the next 2 months, which would take me to 6. And then eventually I started doing some abs and like random core workouts because, you know, who doesn't want abs? And when you don't know what you're fucking talking about, you just go, how to get abs. And everything on YouTube and Google is like, here are my 6 exercises to get abs in 3 minutes. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, that's awesome. So I started doing nothing but the stationary bike and core workouts 6, 7, 8 months. Then eventually, when I was on the stationary bike, I was looking in the mirror. I was looking in the window that is facing me, and I could see the dude behind me on the like machine chest press. And this dude was fucking jacked. And I was like, I want to look like that. And he was doing the machine that was just behind me. And I was like, it's only going in one direction from like point A to point B. It doesn't seem that hard. When he got off that, I waited a fucking full super spider in the mirror. Just like, yep, okay, cool. On my phone, amazing. And he's left. Okay, get off the bike. Wiped everything down and then got on that chest press machine. And I was like, okay, let's figure this out. Ultimate punch, and just pushed it straight out. And I was like, okay, my shoulder popped. But apart from that, that was okay. Did a couple reps, started doing that. And then I did like 3 sets of 10 because I was like, that's the only thing that I really know. Just did 3 sets of 10 because I was like, that sounds like a round number. And the next day I woke up and my chest was a bit sore. And I was like, oh my God, I'm having a fucking heart attack. Anxiety peaked through the roof. And I was like, this is bad. Went through the gym anyway, and I was like, okay, this isn't great. Now that I'm actually remembering, this was before I was a PT. This was when I was 17, no, 18. When the fuck was it? It was 18 or 19 because it was around Canada and I was living with my mum and I had a really crappy red car. It would have been before Canada because I had that crappy red car and I sold that, well, my stepdad sold it when I was in Canada. So it would have been before Canada, which means I would have been 19 at the oldest. I would have been, and when was this? Before Canada. You know what? I'm just going to say 18, 19. That makes sense. I'll say 18. And because it was before I was a PT as well. When I was a PT when I went over to Canada. Look at me fucking gluing my life together on the timeline. Okay. So it would have been before Canada and before I was a PT. Because I was a PT when I went to Canada. Nope, I was studying to be a PT when I got to Canada, came back, ultra depressed, went to go a different job, and then I did that and came back. Okay, timeline is getting better. Timeline is working out for me. You tend to not remember massive like events when you're trying to repress them for most of your life. So that's why I'm horrible with time. But I would have been like 18 or 19 before I went to Canada, before I was a PT. There we go. Look at us go. I'm glad you were here for that journey. I'm glad you were here because who the fuck else is going to listen to my incessant rambling? Particularly while I'm losing my voice. So after my chest was sore, I went back to the gym, did that, and then I just did the same chest press machine, but I did it lighter. And it hurt, but also felt kind of good. And I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. Googled it, looked it all up, and I was like, oh, this soreness is pretty normal because it feels like this. I'm like, ah, that's what it feels like. It feels like the muscle is ripping off the bone. And then they said, don't do it more. This was at the time. They're like, don't do more. Don't push through it. Maybe do a different exercise or do back instead of this. And this was all coming off the back of like Google and YouTube and all the fun stuff. And I was just sort of piecing it together over like 12 months. It was just stationary bike and ab workouts for like the first, well, just stationary bike for 4 months. Then it was stationary bike and ab workouts for like 4 to 7 months. And then I just started introducing weights in that chest press machine. And then I started doing the one that was basically right next to it of like a small seated row. And that was it for like the next month. That was all I really felt comfortable in doing. Then I started branching out and going, wonder if I could do dumbbell chest press. Wonder if I could do free weights. Wonder if I could do cables. And I started just piecing it all together. I bought a cheap as fuck, it was like $150 for a templated workout that was like, do these things and you'll get jacked as. And I was like, okay, that sounds fucking amazing. And I just started YouTubing how to do the form and how to put it all together. And then eventually I started putting on some sort of muscle. Like I wasn't eating to, you know, be a bodybuilder or put on insane size. But after that first year of not really much at the gym and just piecing it together, I eventually started seeing some muscle growth. I eventually started lifting heavier weights. Then I started feeling more comfortable because I was confident in what I was doing at the gym. For a year, a lot of people look at me and go, oh, it's easy for you to get to the gym. You're a PT. You know what you're doing. You know all this stuff. This is where I started. For the first fucking like 18 months, I had a friend that was better than me at the gym. And he basically was my safety net. Anytime he would go, I would go because that's just what we did. We talk shit there. And that was awesome. And when I came back into it, I was like, I don't know anything. I've forgotten everything. I hate this. I hate life. But it was one of the things that I forced myself to go do because it was better than sitting in bed until fucking 2 p.m. and then playing video games for 12 hours and then rinsing and repeating. So I said, if I want to play video games, I have to go to the gym. And that means I have to get out of bed. I have to make breakfast. I have to do these things. And usually I wouldn't have breakfast. I'd just go buy lunch and it would just be normally like KFC or charcoal chicken. Because I was like, oh, chicken, protein, awesome. And that was it. It wasn't amazing. Pieced it all together as I went. After a year of doing that, I was like, oh, okay. I'm actually like getting this weird like muscle in the front of my shoulder. When I reach out, I can see like a little dip in my shoulder. That's pretty cool. I like that. And then I started introducing like, okay, how do I squat? Okay, that feels awkward as fuck. I'm going to stop doing that and do leg press instead. So then I started doing leg press. I started doing extensions. And then I started doing things that just made me feel stronger. When I started feeling stronger, then I started feeling like I kind of fit in at the gym. I kind of belong here in some sort of way. But it took me 12 months of piecing it all together to eventually go, I might belong at the gym. Not even like, this is my spot, I'm owning this and this is amazing. It was like, I might belong here. It's like, this is actually kind of fun. Seeing the results and feeling the results, that was kind of where I, like the addiction started of like, I'm doing this forever. This feels amazing. Because on the days where I didn't go, I felt like shit. That's a story for a whole nother time of like how to rest and how to do these things. But it all just sort of, because I'm a very logical person, like I'm a highly emotional person, but when it comes to decisions, like this is all of us, we're insanely emotional and every decision is emotional. But okay, I'm going to make these decisions and actions based off the logic. And the logic says I have to do this in order to get this thing that I want. And I want this thing because of this emotional goal. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I did that for the world's longest time. Went to Canada, put on a bunch of weight, and then came back and I was like, oh, I look like Justin. I look like a home brand version of Justin Bieber, who never learned to sing and was kind of homeless and also kind of chubby. Kind of chubby when I came back because there was no gym up there. Like I got a lot of exercise in terms of like snowboarding, but and walking fucking everywhere. But that was about it. Very small space that I lived in, could do push-ups and abs. That was about it. There wasn't really much else that I could do. So it took me 12 months to be able to finally feel like I might fit in or belong at the gym. And it slowly grew in terms of what I was doing and my ability and confidence and everything. And I just want to let you all know that it's not go to the gym and no one's looking at you and you'll be completely fine. That is what's happening. But the emotional side of it is going to be give this a while. Give it 6 months. If you don't start feeling better in 6 months, maybe the gym is not for you. Or maybe you were doing shit that didn't really work for you. And this is another thing. I actually recorded something in the gym that I think is kind of funny. Just had the random idea and put it together. Luckily, Beth was there to help me with it. When you go to the gym, I don't want you to like fail on every single lift that you are doing. I don't want you to have to stress yourself that much. We want to be close to it, but we don't want to completely fail. The gym itself is the way I describe it is basically, it is a place where you go to protect your mental health and it is a safe space to fail. That's it. That really, we go to the gym to fail. We go to the gym to stress our bodies. We go to the gym to basically put all of the negative energy into this thing so that we can basically trade it for positive energy. And a lot of people go and they feel like shit and they have the negative energy and they go, yep, I went there for my mental health, but it didn't really work. It's like, okay, what did you do? Oh, I did 30 minutes on the treadmill and then I did like just some stretching and just some ab work in there. And that was about 60 to 80 minutes. And in my mind, I go, 60 to 80 minutes? Like you must have done a lot of core work. I'm like, no, it was just a little bit of this. I'm like, okay. What usually ends up happening when people don't get that like feel better or endorphin release, they're not pushing themselves hard enough. And I'm not saying you need to completely ruin yourself every time you go to the gym, but a lot of people, when they say they do treadmill or they're just getting started, it's not pushing yourself in the sense of like, oh, no, I don't want to get hot and sweaty and look like a mess and this and that. That's what the gym is for. It's a safe space to be able to do these things. And I know safe space, quote unquote, coming from a white guy with a beard who now looks like he belongs at the gym. Like, everyone there is amazing. There are some cunts at the gym. Let's be honest. There are some dicks at the gym that are going to be like, oh, can you get hurry the fuck up? I need this because of whatever. There could be some roided up fuckwit there that's going to make you feel unsafe. They make me feel unsafe. I completely get that. There are going to be fuckwits no matter what location that you are in the world. There could be a fuckwit in Woolies. There's a lot of them, actually. Talking about the CEO there, but hey, the workers are actually pretty damn good. They're always funny when I go to Coles. Love those workers. There's going to be fuckwits everywhere in life. And at the gym, that's no exception. A lot of people that are at the gym are usually there because they've gone through some shit and they're there because they want to feel better. Or they haven't gone through some shit, but they just feel like shit and they want to get better. Everyone at the gym is in the same ocean in the sense of, I am here to get better or improve my life in some sort of capacity. That's why people are at the gym. You are no exception. You are like everyone else there. You are here to get better. That's it. And there are people that may be starting at higher ranks, like higher abilities is what I'm trying to say. People may start at higher abilities because maybe they've played sport their entire life. Like me, I've always had really good hand-eye coordination. Don't know what it is. I can't fucking kick to save my life. But I suppose it's not foot-eye coordination. But that's how I got into gridiron. It was like, hey, throw this ball over there. Okay, throw the ball, it lands in that spot. And it was like, whoa, how'd you do that? I'm like, fucking simple. I just picked it up and put it in the air and now it lands over there. That seems relatively intuitive. And for a lot of people, they don't have that. If I said, hey, throw this ball over here, maybe it'd get close. Some people would have like no throwing style whatsoever. And particularly, I'm talking generally here, so don't fucking ruin me for anything. Women don't typically grow up playing sport. A lot of boys do. So when we go to the gym, we have typically gone through a lot of training or physical exercise or physical endurance to be able to go, this roughly feels okay. This roughly makes sense. And for a lot of women getting into the gym, like it's awesome that they're now starting to promote basically like women fitness and sports and inclusivity from a young age now. But growing up, like I'm only 30, and growing up in the sense of like in 1990 or just the early 2000s, that was not a thing. It was like, oh, you're a girl playing footy? No, you're going to get hurt. Go sit down and just do other stuff. I felt like that because I can't play footy. I was just the dude that was running around bumping people, but I never got told off, even though there was a girl sitting down that was better than me at footy. But if I wasn't good at footy, that hit my masculinity and I wasn't allowed to let that happen, even though I didn't really know why. It's just what I was being told. So I went to basketball instead because basketball made a lot more sense to me. But anyway, life story. So when guys get to the gym, we typically have because of societal expectations, I'm going to say that, we typically have more physical experience in terms of like how to move our body in this particular way. And women typically do not have that because they have not played sports from a young age. If you have, fantastic. You do not fit this boot. Don't try it on. And that is the general speak that we are typically getting to. And because 90%+ of my clients are women, it takes a lot more to be able to feel comfortable in the gym, to be able to lift, to be able to feel what this muscle feels like, how should I move here? And there's a lot more time that goes into that. Yes, you'll get a lot more quote unquote newbie gains, but anybody would. You're likely also pissed off if you have a partner or you've just got a boy who is a friend. If you both start a diet at the same time or going to the gym at the same time, the guy will likely get jacked a lot quicker and lose weight and be like, oh yeah, 8 weeks in, this was fucking amazing. Lost 7 kilos and I put on this much muscle and it was awesome. Whereas you're sitting there with 3 kilos and going, what the fuck? Why don't I look any different? The bodies and the physiology behind male versus female are just very different. There's different hormone different hormone productions and different physiological factors at stake there. So it does take a bit of difference in terms of time of seeing and feeling the results. Again, generally speaking. So when we get into the gym, we want to be able to test ourselves so that we can give ourselves that physiological response to feel better. And if we're typically just sitting there on our phone and scrolling and we're walking at like a super leisurely pace, it's like, yes, you're still getting your steps in, but your heart rate's gone from like what, resting at 70 or 80 to 100, 105 maybe. And if it's minimum 120, fantastic. It's probably going to start producing some sort of sweat, quote unquote, fat burning effect. Oh, My neck is cracking like crazy. So I hope that showed up on, I hope that came up on the podcast in terms of audio, because that was my neck. So we want to be getting the heart rate up so that we can produce some sort of endorphin or positive feeling off the back of it. And if you're going to the gym and not really challenging yourself, or you're just sort of sitting there and going like, yeah, I did it, and you're finishing the exercises of like, that was kind of hard, like, I guess, like, I wouldn't want to go any heavier. The way that I always judge, could a person go heavier? The first thing I look for is their face. If their face is poker face the entire time, we can probably go heavier. Even if they are trying not to make a face, they will typically hold their breath and go red in the face. That's where I tell that it's challenging. There is a difference between nothing in the face and trying to hold the face under tension. You will be able to pick up the difference. If you've ever seen that meme of the guy trying not to cough and holding it back, and he's got fucking veins and everything in his forehead, that's what it looks like. It looks like a lesser version of that. And a lot of people, particularly women, don't want to express themselves or be loud in the gym. They don't want to make an ugly face. They don't want to be red. They don't want to be sweaty. They don't want to be quote unquote gross. They don't want to be loud or grunt or anything like that, because it's seen as unladylike. It's seen as, why the fuck are you making these noises? But if a guy does the exact same thing, it's like, wow, he's pretty damn good. He's pretty muscly and tanky, and look at him. He must be doing those things. The double standards are a pain in the ass. They fucking annoy me. I would, because obviously a guy steps into the gym and they go, this is heavy, and they start making all these stupid noises. And yeah, I tried to hold back my face, but a personal trainer once said to me, be ugly in the gym. That's the point. If you're making these stupid faces, people will know that you're working hard. And if you're trying to hold your face and you're not making those faces, people will be like, okay, well, you're not really trying that hard. And that's sort of where I got that philosophy from, of like, I'm going to watch their face. From there, if the face looks like it's okay, then obviously I'm looking at the movement. I'm looking at everything altogether. If the bar path is smooth, or if the movement itself is taking the same tempo, the same everything, it looks the same from rep 1 to rep 20, then yeah, the weight's going to go up. We want to feel that we are being challenged and it physically being hard. The reason that most people don't get that endorphin release or positivity is just because they're not challenging themselves, and they spend more time on their phone. And this is where it gets a little bit contradictory, because I'm saying this at the moment in terms of challenge yourself and feel the weight and make it heavy to the point where your face changes and you feel ugly and you feel like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking blow a sphincter. Maybe not that heavy of blowing the sphincter out, because we want to keep them in our bodies. They're pretty damn important. And going the opposite direction of, hey, you need to rest between your sets. Because if you are someone who, on the other end of the spectrum, your first set, you smash it out and you go, yep, that was pretty easy. You rest for a little bit. I'm bored. I'm feeling okay. Okay, I could probably go again. And then you jump in like 20, 30 seconds later. And the second set, the first half was okay. But then the last half, like, you fell off a cliff quickly in terms of energy. And you're like, what the fuck? So you stop and you're like, okay, cool. Then you recover. Maybe 40 seconds later, you go again because you feel okay. And you barely finish the third set. The weight can probably go up if you take more time between sets. And considering most people that I work with have typically come off the back of group training or group fitness, where it's like, okay, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off. They don't really teach rest periods. They do this massive circuit for like 30 minutes, have a 5-minute break, and then let's do a quick finisher for 10 minutes. There's no rest in between those sets. So when we're trying to build muscle and we're trying to get that endorphin rush and feel more confident at the gym and just feel more capable, we have to lift heavy shit. But in order to lift heavy shit, we need to be able to take the time to rest between sets so that we get more energy to put into the set. If that is you, to the point where you're smashing your sets and your first set is okay, second set, you fall off a cliff in energy, and third set is like, oh my God, I can't do anymore. That third set of like, holy shit, we're looking for that feeling for kind of set one, definitely set two and set three. That's what we're looking for. But you won't get those feelings unless you rest between sets or allow yourself to go heavy and let your body tell you what's going on. This is a fun story from a client that I had last year. No, they finished. Yeah, last year. she was going to the gym, she did her sessions and everything was awesome. And it was like, okay, I need you to look for an RPE 7 or like a challenge rating of 7. And can't get comfy in this goddamn chair. And she was like, yep, I'm doing the gym, it's all good. But she was always doing the same reps, the same weight, the same everything, which was awesome. She was getting to the gym and she was physically moving her body and basically ticking all the boxes and it was all good. She stalled in terms of weight loss and energy and mood. Everything just sort of hit like a stagnant block. And she was still hitting calories. She was still going to the gyms. She was still doing everything. So I said, I want you to push the intensity purely because it felt like I know for 6 or 7 weeks in a row, same reps, same weights, same everything. And I was like, do you want me to change anything? Do you want me to add it in? She's like, no, it's fine. It's all right. I'm still getting it done. I don't mind going to the gym. It's just, you know, it's starting to become a bit annoying. So I was like, okay, before I change things, I want you to do this one thing. I just want you to push the intensity as much as you can. She's like, yeah, but I always feel like when I go, the sets always feel heavy. And I don't know if I'd be able to actually go heavier. Because when I finish it, while I'm doing it, it's like, yeah, this is heavy. But then I finish it and I'm like, oh, I probably could have gone more. And I said, to trust that voice of probably could have done more. Even though during it, you're like, this is heavy, I ran a mini experiment. This is not fucking official and anything. This is just me with my clients and just fucking around, really, because I found it interesting. When I gave people, I'll say leg extensions, because that's what I got this client to do. When I gave them leg extensions and I said 3 of 8, choose a weight that is relatively challenging. You think you may have like 2 or 3 reps left in reserve before failing. I got people and I said, do that 3x8. And when they did that, they chose their weight and they did that. And I said, okay, cool. When you get to the end of the 8, how does it feel? And they go, oh, like it's okay for the first like 6 reps and then 7, 8. I'm like, oh my God, this is really hard. And they would say that for every set. So I said, okay, same weight, we're going to go 12 reps. It's like, it's looking very easy. It's moving well, it's smooth, it's this, it's that. And even if it didn't, even if it was like, okay, you're struggling at 8, I was like, it's looking really good, it's looking smooth. I feel like you can go for 12. And because leg extension is relatively a safe exercise, like if they were barely clearing a box jump, no fucking way am I going to go, okay, let's add 12 inches to it. And there's no way I would do that. But safe setting, yes, let's push it. So I said, it's all looking amazing. Let's give it a go and let's aim for 12 reps. It'll be hard, but you will be able to finish this. Every single client got to 12 reps. How did that feel? That was a, oh, fuck that. That was a challenge. I'm going to feel that. And they finished. Every single person was like rubbing their quads and going like, oh my God, that is crazy. That is insane. And I was like, okay, cool. So it came down to more, the mind was stopping them from pushing physically. When you get to the end of something, it's like, oh, this is ending. And particularly there's a lot of clients I work with now since my diagnosis that are ADHD. And the finality of something, we're good at doing 80% of the thing. And then we come close to finishing it and we go, oh, well, I'm nearly done and I don't really want to finish it because when I finish it, then it's done and I'm not able to do this and I don't really want to lose this feeling that I've got. So I'm going to stop now and never have this feeling ever again because I can have that weird hope in the back of my brain that it's still going to feel like that or I can jump back into it and I can do this and they forget about it and never finish it. We're very good at that. Every person then got tested and I said, whatever weight you were doing for, whatever they were up to, like 8, 10, 12, 15, whatever reps that they were doing. I was like, I just want you to do however many reps you can before you fail. If you get to 8 reps, see if you can do 9. If you get to 9, see if you can do 10. If you get to 10, just see if you can push for 12. Like your brain is going to be screaming at you to stop and that this is heavy and that you can't do it. But if your body physically allows you to pick up that weight and finish 1 rep, even if you're shaking a little bit, go again. Give it another go. Again, safe exercise. We're not going to be doing this with fucking massive explosive movements. Every single person got like 3, 4, 5, 6 reps. And this lady that I was talking to you about before, where I said, I really want you to push the intensity. She was doing 3x12 at like 33 kilos. And I said, I just want you to push it. I wasn't there because she was interstate online coaching. But what a weird flex, online coaching. Just in case you didn't know, that's what I do. And she took her 3x12 reps at 33 kilos for the last set, not even the first one when she's feeling fresh or the second one when she's like warmed up and like, okay, this is what it feels like. For her last one, when she was the most fatigued, she got 12 reps and continued to do more and just kept going until her body said, okay, we cannot finish this rep. She ended up getting, I think, like 26 reps or like 31 reps. I don't know why they're the two numbers, but it was somewhere around that number. And she was like, holy shit, is that what that failure is meant to feel like? That like RPE 10, or how hard was that for you on a scale of 10? 10 being muscular failure, that's what that feels like. And she was always judging her sessions at a 7. Now that she knew what failure felt like, she was like, oh, yeah, well, these other weights, they're probably like a 4 or a 5. So the next week, I didn't fucking slam her with weights, but I said, okay, these two exercises for, she was doing 4 days a week, so I said two exercises on every day. I just want you to push the weight by 10%. Push it by 10%. Yeah, it felt too easy. I want to go up by 15%, go up by 20%. We did that. We stuck to that for like another 2 weeks, and then we did the same thing for the rest of the exercises, and she was fucking loving it by then. Because, and this is where like correlation, not causation, she was feeling better at the gym because she brought the intensity to the gym. She was then expressing herself a lot more. She was moving through more emotions in terms of like anger and stress. She was basically downloading all the negative shit, leaving it at the gym and trading it for positive energy. She then started getting the endorphin release, even though for 6-7 weeks in a row, she was like, I'm just not liking the gym anymore. It's not feeling amazing. I'm not getting that thing. And at the end of the day, the only thing I said was, go harder. Like, don't do more reps on everything. Don't push everything more, but just test your body. See how strong you are. See what you are actually capable of. And when we went into that mindset to be like, hey, don't just get these done because we want to lose weight and look like this. Get them done to test yourself in terms of how strong and capable you are. And she was a lot stronger and more capable than she believed that she was. Because no matter what exercise that it is, I recently got caught doing this myself. And this was earlier this month. And I've been a PT for nearly 10 years now. I was doing a bicep curl on a cable, single arm. And as I was doing it, I was like, oh, okay, this feels relatively tough. And then I finished the first set and I went, it doesn't feel as challenging as it should. It doesn't feel as hard as it should. So I went, okay, I'm just going to up the weight. Did that again. And I was like, what the fuck? I normally only lift like 7.5 on this cable for this bicep curl. So I did 10 and then that felt easy. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then I did 12 and a half. Went to go move it. And I was like, oh, that fucking hurts. Okay. Dropped it back down to like 11.25. And that felt very challenging. But when I finished it, I was like, oh, that's the feeling that I've been missing. And that reminded me to bring the intensity back to the sessions. It doesn't mean I have to do it every single session, but go in there with intensity or go in with purpose or intention. That's what I was looking for. Go in with intention. And things changed. I started feeling better. I started getting more passionate about my workouts. I started going, okay, I'm excited to get to the gym because I want to test what my knee is capable of because I'm still fucking rehabbing that. God damn it. But I started testing myself and challenging myself and I started to become more confident. Hey, maybe I should film this and use it for social media. Maybe I should do these things. It takes a while and sometimes we forget it, but it takes a while to bring that confidence out, to bring that comfort out. And it does typically start with intensity and intention. That's really what we're looking to do. I don't want to do these podcasts like, okay, these are going to be fucking balls to the wall. Like you have to go to gym. You're going to do these things. I don't really need much intensity for these podcasts because the intention is to sit back, chill, tell you a story, and hopefully you get some value from it and you apply it to your life. That's what I'm looking for. So it takes a while to get comfortable and confident in the gym because you need to be comfortable and confident in yourself. And the best way that I have found to help people become confident is to test their capabilities, to make them more capable. And funnily enough, there is a book. I didn't know that this book existed until I fucking, yes, I'm about to out myself. I did Google Unfuck Yourself like years ago. I was on the treadmill and I Googled Unfuck Yourself and it came up with a book by a doctor who I don't know. You know what? I'm actually going to look it up right now because I should really just pause this podcast as I'm doing this stuff. But anyway, Gary John Bishop, I believe. Nope, I do not want to click on that fucking book. Unfuck Yourself by Gary John Bishop. That's the one that is on fucking everything. I'm going to click on Audible. See, now I'm podcasting. I have to. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Unfuck Yourself, Get Out of Your Head and Into Your Life, Gary John Bishop. I listened to that book and I only just remembered about this book like a couple weeks back when I was writing my book, and I was like, oh, what should I call it? And then I labeled it Unfuck Yourself, and I was like, that actually won't work because there's already a book that is called that, as I re-Googled it. And I've listened to it as well. Put it in the back of my brain, even though I reference it every so often. But anyway, that book, there's something in there that was basically like, I'm going to paraphrase, like, oh, fuck, I haven't listened to it in a while. There was something in there that was basically like, even if you suck at doing these things, you can still work on your quote-unquote life force. You can still increase your capacity. You can be stronger. You can do these things. It's not about fixing everything all at once. It's just about increasing your capabilities. And that's really what we're looking for at the gym. We just want to increase your capabilities. Because when you feel more capable, and I think Jordan Peterson spoke about this at some point as well through one of his random fucking things. It was 12 rules of life or something. Anyway, he was talking about young boys not killing themselves. And that's, I was like, oh, that's me. I don't want to do that. And so I took note of it. It was basically, if we want to move on from this thing, or we want to not feel as depressed, or we want to just feel better or not as worthless. There we go. Fucking found it. If we want to not feel as worthless, we need to be able to feel capable. And just lifting weights makes young men feel capable, which is why most young men end up going to the gym. If we feel capable and strong and doing what we're doing, because at the gym, it's like, there's no way I'm going to be able to lift that. And then bang, you lift it. You go, what the fuck? I did not know that I was actually capable of that. That then has a flow-on effect to what you do in life. Like, yep, I can lift that. And there's always like, oh, I need two strong boys to lift this. And you're like, fuck yeah, that's me. Like, it can change your entire identity by just lifting some heavy stuff. And, you know, right now does not matter. Well, right now, forever does not matter. It's just, oh, I'm capable. I can do these things. That's amazing. That's what we're looking for. It just takes time. I didn't go to the gym and start fucking crushing it and feeling amazing. It took me a year to be able to go, okay, I think I'm kind of fitting in here. What's better is that it took me a year figuring it out by myself, figuring it out on my own, going on YouTube, looking up Google stuff and just sort of piecing it together, and then buying a random workout program from Kai Green that was like, hey, for breakfast, you're going to have a steak and sweet potato. And I'm like, okay, cool. Looking back, I'm like, how the fuck did I afford a steak 3 days a week for breakfast? Well, it helps when you're not paying a mortgage and you work sort of like part-time. Even then, it wasn't amazing. But looking back to those times, it's like, it wasn't even that long ago. It was like 10 years ago, 11 years ago. A 17, 18, 19-year-old boy, a late teenager boy, could afford steak and was obviously not paying rent, but could afford those things on not much money per week in terms of income. That is fucking wild. That blows my mind. Because I was making like $14 an hour doing pizza work at that time. And I still had money for steak and all of this and the gym membership. And I was like, okay, cool. Granted, I didn't need a lot of expenses apart from basically consuming things like video games or alcohol or food. It's pretty much all I was buying. But even still, it was like, oh, cool. This is awesome. I would love for that cost of living to come back. That would be fucking amazing. I'd have so many clients. But anyway, I'm getting off track. I hope that helped in some sort of way. If you are starting at the gym, if you're starting at the gym or you're feeling confident, I didn't even finish my thought pattern. Oh my fucking God. Why? It feels like my medication is not working right now. Jesus. What was I saying? Hey, Trav, you should start a podcast. It'd be really professional and well put together. Fuck you. Oh my God. Okay. That's what it was. I pieced, for the year that I was getting comfortable at the gym, I pieced all that together through random information and just doing things by myself and not really knowing what I was doing. The good thing for people that are listening to this, I mean, yes, you're in sort of the same boat, but a lot of people that do listen to the podcast are clients or ex-clients or, yeah, they're people that are like about to buy in terms of like coaching, or they're currently on coaching, or they've already finished coaching. The people that are listening to this podcast are typically people that are like, I like the cut of this guy's jib and he might be able to change my life, but I just need to figure out how much money it is so that I can save it and put it together. If that's you at the moment, just DM me and we can just run through the shit, because I might have something that's even more affordable for you that actually suits you better. We can do that. Otherwise, if you currently have me as your coach, or you had me as your coach, we've more than likely pieced everything together. And if you're worried about going to the gym, we don't have to take a year to figure this shit out by itself, because I'll be able to just help speed this up by giving you a lot of clarity. Do this, do this, do this, focus on this. When this happens, think about X. When this happens, do Y. It's a lot easier when you've got a coach, because you don't have to think or put it together, and there's less mental energy. You just go, hey, Trav, the fuck? And I'll go, ah, yes. Do this now, please. That's it. I'll just piece it all together for you. So I hope that helped in some sort of way. If it did, give us a like, give us a share, give us a comment. If you haven't rated, because I don't know who hasn't yet, but I found this really fun and interesting. I actually have a pretty damn good fucking rating on Spotify. I have 39 at the time of recording, 39 five-star reviews for this podcast. I don't know where to find the reviews or if they're just like stars. I have looked for it. I have no idea where. But if you would like to review it and you know where I can find them, let me know, because I don't know at the moment, but I'm going to look into it even harder. But my rating, like 39 reviews for 5 stars, is pretty damn good. And I listen to some podcasts that have like 20-something 5-star reviews, and they have thousands of listeners for every episode. I get like 10 to 20 listeners for every episode. So that rating, I was actually really impressed with. So if you haven't left a rating as of yet, please do so on Spotify and let me know, because I would really appreciate that. Obviously, I'm not asking for anything for this podcast. I make no money from this podcast. It's just pure value. And obviously, off the back end of it, I hope that you get heaps of value and you go, yep, this guy sounds cool. I want to sign up. And that's where I make my money. But even then, we still have to deliver the coaching and actually get you the results and do all that shit. In terms of this podcast, the only thing that I will ask is, if you haven't given it a like or a review, or you haven't shared it or anything like that, that is all I'm going to ask, but don't feel obliged to. Anyway, hope that was awesome. I'll see you all in the next one.